Well, seems like an incredible opportunity. This is, yeah, this is very special, and hope to not keep you too long. I was, well, again, when Timothy asked me to share my testimony, the first verse that came to mind was the one that Perry of Rockwood used to always use, was the one of 1 John 5:13. For these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And then he would stress that. He says that ye may know, K-N-O-W, that ye have, H-A-V-E, eternal life. And I was born and raised in a way that no one could know. We were always taught that if somebody said that they could know that they were saved, that was an evident token that they were lost, because it had just been pride that was overfilling their hearts, and that's where they were coming from. And so whenever I would hear verses like that, it would always be, okay, I don't really know quite how to handle this. I don't know how to take it. But so it's just, yeah, it's just very, very special. Thank you. That was, for me, we were raised, we were in church on a regular basis, we were just taught that Sunday, that's what it was for, and it was all good. It was, that part was no problem. But as I was growing up, I started to realize that you're a sinner, and you're taught that, you know, as long as you go to church, as long as you do all the right things, everything will somehow be all right. Like the good will outweigh the bad, and everything will be okay. And I say, yep, that just doesn't work for me. And so, then the time came, and it would have been. I was just going to mention the year. But so here I was, and they said, you know, you're at the age where you should take and get baptized and join the church. And I said, oh, that'll do it. That'll do it. If I take and go through that whole catechism thing and whatnot and get baptized, then everything will be all right. Then I'll know that everything is good with God and we're all good to go. So I said, Kate, that's Kate, I'm in. And about halfway through the process, because in that old system that I was raised, it was a process. And as we're going through that whole catechism thing, I said to myself, I don't think so. I don't think so. I said, there's something missing here. I says, this doesn't seem to cut it either. And not realizing at the time that it was loaded with religion, but very little Christianity, or only a measure of Christianity, maybe I should say. And so there I was, and then my dad noticed that I was struggling. And so I had an uncle that was a preacher in the church there. So Dad says to my uncle, he says, I need you to talk to Peter. That's not all good. He's not content. It's not all good. And so, you know, Satan loves for you to be very content with religion and just be very comfortable there. And so here my Uncle Abe comes up to me, and he pulled me aside. It was on a Sunday, and he pulled me aside, and he says, so what's up? And I kind of knew my Uncle Abe, and I knew my Uncle Abe was listening to Perry of Rock, guys like Perry of Rockwood. I knew he was listening to Ernest C. Manning. I think that was from Alberta or BC or somewhere. And I knew he was listening. So I knew my Uncle Abe had some Bible knowledge. But this somehow, religion does very interesting things. And so my Uncle Abe, he says, no, because I says to my uncle, see, back in that day, we were taught, we never talked back to our elders. And I was just a boy, I was just a kid, I was not quite 20 at the time, and so you didn't talk back to someone that was, you know, I don't know what age my Uncle Abe would have, but anyway, he was an elder to me, and you didn't talk back to him, he questioned me on a number of things, and I said, nah, I know that it's my sin that's separating me from God, but I said, I don't know how to deal with it. And he says, no, just settle down. He says, I've been watching your life. I can see you're trying your best, and now you're going through the ordinances of the church. He says, there's nothing left to be done. When he said that, it just, my heart just, yeah, makes me want to cry. I said, no, Uncle Abe, you know better than that. And I don't believe that. I don't believe that you believe that. You're saying that because that's the system that you're in. And that's why you're saying it. But I don't believe in my heart, I don't believe that you believe that. And but I could, like I say, you didn't talk back to him. You just okay. And so we walked away from that, and I said, no, I says, Lord, I says, I really don't know where the answer is. Today it seems like as if, well, surely, you know, you guys, like Liam there, like surely there'd be someone, you'd be able to find someone that could tell you, you know. And it was in that whole process where Dad would take, and he had a spot where he had the old radio in the back. It was back in time, and it was in the home that we were in. We had the upstairs and the downstairs, and we lived primarily in the downstairs. And when Dad would turn on those radio broadcasts, there was a spot that I had found. Today, I believe I'd be doing as if I was on my phone or something. I think that's what it would look like today. Back in that day, I don't know what it looked like, but I found myself a spot that I could kind of hide out, and I could kind of catch what Dad was listening to. But I don't know why. I think Dad would have been encouraged if I would have pulled up a chair and sat with him there and listened to the radio. I believe he would have been. I do. I do believe it. But back in that day, I didn't. But I could hear enough that those words of Perry F. Rockwood would just keep coming back to me, you know. How to be saved and know it. And I says, Perry F. Rockwood, nobody can know it. If anybody says they know it, they're prideful. That's not true. But yet, Dad would take and sometimes pull out his Bible, and at the supper table, and I still don't know how he did it, but he'd read. Somehow he'd be done before we were all done eating. And he would open the Bible and start reading from the Bible. And the part that stuck with me is that Dad would say, periodically, I remember him saying, now we know that the Bible is true. And that caught my attention. Okay, so if the Bible is true, then what's my uncle and my the church that we go to, you know, that was a whole other chapter. But anyway, so even what was shared here, a lot of confusion. So where is this? Thank God he eventually gets the upper hand, even though you struggle and wrestle with it. So that's what it was. I'd find my spot, Dad would be listening, and it was especially Perry F. Rockwood, because he was always, do you know that you're saved, or are you just religious? And I said, well, I hope I'm not just religious, but I know I'm not saved, so I don't really know what you're talking about. But so this whole thing would just keep wrestling, and we'd just keep going. But I'd hear it often enough, and over enough, that there came that time. And so then after my Uncle Abe, through that whole process, well, then I started listening more keenly to, okay, so what's Dad really listening to? Is there, like, where? So then, later that same summer, it was the summer of 1978, it was interesting because that morning in the church service, the preacher said, if you've never made your peace with God, he says, don't leave the service without doing that. But we didn't feel that the connection wasn't there. Like you didn't know who to talk. So, because in my heart, I said, yeah, I would like to gain that peace with God. But who do you talk to? It's strange to think back on it later. But anyhow, so left the service and said, yeah, I said, I know that I don't have peace with God. And so then we had made plans to do some trail riding up in the hills there just to the west of us. Myself, my brother, with some other friends is what the plans were for that Sunday afternoon. But I said, nah, I says, you guys go ahead. You go ahead. I'm going to stay back this time. So I went and shut myself up in my bedroom. And there I wrestled for what I can remember, it would have been hours. But I don't know how long it really was. But I just said, Lord, I says, I know that it's my sin that's separating me from you, but how can I overcome this? And just not knowing where to turn or who to turn to, I just couldn't find. I was praying. I remember looking some in my Bible. I had kind of a Bible of some sort at that time, or at least it seems to me as if I did, if I remember correctly. But I just couldn't find it. I just didn't know. I just didn't know where to turn. Went to leave my bedroom, and as I got to the door, I stopped and I said, "But God," I said, "I can't continue on in life feeling like as if I'm separated from you." And it was there that I turned back around and went and knelt back down on my bedside. It was just like it happened yesterday. And I said, "Lord Jesus, honestly, don't know how to come to you." And I was being very honest from the heart because of all the confusion. Honestly, like Brother Liam shared this morning, just absolutely blessed my heart. I couldn't help but relate to. So there I just said, well, Paragraph Rockwood, he says to say this. And in my heart, I just said, "Lord Jesus, honestly don't know how to come to you. But the best that I know how, I know I'm a sinner. I know it's my sin that's separating me from you. Would you please come into my heart and save me?" And the thing, it was all, I was stealing the words of what I'd been listening to, Dad, listening to on the radio. And just so extremely ignorant. Just talk about being ignorant of the Bible or of God or of the Word of God. Or it was just, you know, we had lots of religion, lots of tradition, but just so ignorant of Scripture. Just today, it's just like, yeah, anyhow. And after I did that, I just like, such a peace flooded my heart. And I said, "But Lord," I says, "this isn't fair." Like I says, where does this come from? In fact, my first question to the Lord was, "So Lord, what did I do right to deserve this?" And well, you all know I never got the answer for it because it was nothing of me. I didn't do anything right. All I did is accepted what he already did on the cross for me, right? Amen. That's all I did is I just accepted. But in my heart I was, you must have done something right, because you've got this peace now that you never had before. I'll tell you, folks, my search done ended at that point. Amen. I didn't have the answers. Didn't even know how I got. In fact, I was so ignorant of Scripture and even of what I'd heard Paragraph Rockwood preaching. I didn't even really. If somebody would ask me, "So now you say you have peace, and before you didn't, so how'd you get it?" And I'd say, "I repeated some words. Paragraph Rockwood teaches this. Like, I don't know if I could have explained it. Don't know if I could. Well, in fact, I pretty much know I couldn't have explained it, because I honestly was just so ignorant." But God sees your heart. See, God sees through all of that. And he sees your heart. And if your heart is right, he'll save you right on the spot. See, like Liam, he'll save you. You're reading your Bible. Can you remember the day? No, but you know that it happened. He accepted you into the family of God because you opened your heart and said, "Lord, would you please come into my heart and save me?" Like, it's just, yeah, it's just so precious. And as the story kept going, I don't know how much time. I don't want to keep you, folks. If you're wanting to run, but things only kept getting better and better from there. But it was so interesting, though. Getting out of the old colony church there, never intended to leave the church. I just thought that, well, you know, they got some saved folks here. I know that, but I knew that my uncle was. I figured because my uncle and I, we had chatted enough that I believe I knew he was saved. But anyhow, and so. And then later in years, Dad and I were traveling together, and I shared with Dad some, and And Dad says, well, son, can I share with you? And then Dad, for the very first time, shared with me how he had personally trusted Christ as Savior. And it just, yeah, we were driving. I remember bursting out in tears because it was just like, wow. Like, anyhow, because it was just so special. My wife and I started taking my little Gideon's New Testament to church. I was sitting beside some guys that Sunday morning, and they slid over when I pulled out that little Gideon's New Testament that I had from school. And I said, so what's the problem? And they said, well, you're bringing that Bible to church. You're going to try to tell me you don't believe a word the preacher says? Oh, no, 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 no. I says, no, 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 no. I says, the preacher reads in High German, and I don't understand that, but I can usually catch where he's reading from, you know. And so when he'd say, Ist Johannes Pfefte Kapitel Dati in the Farsh, I could catch. Oh, that's 1 John 5:13. So I said to the guys, no, I says, now I can follow it in English and I can get so much more out of the sermon. I said, they said, no, don't buy that. Won't buy that. And so went home, and well, it didn't take long. And Mother says, she says, you're creating such a problem with that little Bible of yours in church. She says, you better stop, because she says, if that keeps going, she says, they're going to have to put you out of the church. And she says, if they put you out, that means we won't be able to eat at the same table anymore. And I said, okay, well, I says, I guess we can leave. So that created a whole other, that was a big chapter in our lives, because when we went to take our names off of the church register or roll, whatever they called it then, my wife and I went to the head minister then, and he said, well, I can't just take your names out. And I says, like, well, what do we have to do? We want the names out. And in the meantime, it got that hot that Mother said, I think it was just before we went and did that, she says, we had the two girls at the time, our two oldest daughters, and she says, Peter, now, she says, you and your wife, you know better, but she says, need to get your names off of the church roll then, but she says, don't take your girls' names out of the Lamb's Book of Life. And I said, are you saying, Mother, that the church holds the Lamb's Book of Life? I said, that's heresy. Yeah. I says, that's heresy. I said, if that's how you feel about it, I says, though our names need to come out. And at that point, I made up my mind that my name was never going to be on another church roll. Yeah, Timothy's chuckling, because Pastor Sullivan sat down with me after we had been in church there for a while, and he says, so Peter, what's stopping you from becoming a member? And I says, because the church claims to hold the Lamb's Book of Life. And I says, that's heresy. And he says, no. He says, where'd you get that from? Well, I says, right from where I left church. Like, and he says, no. He says, we don't hold the Lamb's Book of Life. It's just the book of Acts teaches it's good to be part of a local church. And so it's good to have your, he says, it it's God's program. No. And so I had to completely revamp my whole thinking to start becoming scriptural in my thinking and not religious. And it was just, a verse that just has also just really, really worked on my heart back in time was in the Gospel of John. It was John 5:24. Let me just read it for you. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that hath sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, that really caught my attention back in those years. And that was a time after salvation by this time. And being that I was originally, I'm of Mennonite descent, so then there was High German in our heritage or lineage or whatever. And so through that, there was, and so this verse, as I studied it a little bit with the, also with the High German, I found it very catching as I just kind of, my eyes kind of opened up to the part of it. Here in John chapter 3, Jesus so clearly taught the part of that you must be born again. So then that whole birth process, that it was God. So if you must be born again, okay, so you've been born once into this world, and now you're supposed to be born again into the family of God. And in my mind, you know, from how I was raised and whatnot, there was a lot of questions and whatnot. And so then this verse really, really spoke to me, because then I found that, okay, so here he's talking about, but that you've been passed from death unto life. And as I studied that out, I just couldn't help but find that the word that the High German used there for past was durchgedrungen, which back translated into English would be forced. And so I found that, so here, when you personally trust Christ as Savior, or you just say yes to Jesus, he's the one that births you, he's the one that forces you through the birth canal into the family of God. So it's not you that, you know, so I got saved, you know, it was me, you know, God obviously favored me, well, no, you know, I must have something, I must have done something right, or there must be something, no, it's nothing in me, it's nothing special in me, my good works are like filthy rags in the eyes of God, there's nothing here that God would desire, but it's God that births us into the family of God. And so that's why when you trust Christ as personal Savior, there's no way you can ever go back. There's no way you can ever go back. It's God that has birthed you because you said yes to the Savior. You said yes to the sacrifice that was made for your sin on the cross. And now he's the one that births you into the family of God. And so that's how you become born again. It's not you. It's all about him. And he's the one that does the process. And so now that's why you can know that you're saved. That's why, prayer of Rockwood, you know, how can you be saved and know it? Was one of the the booklets, I guess, yeah, that he had. And oh, bless his heart. It was years later that I was encouraged. Somebody asked me, did you ever take and write Prayer of Rockwood and tell him that you personally trusted Christ the Savior through his radio broadcast? And I said, no. I said, God, yeah, I'm not, you know, I don't write letters. Huh? My wife could relate to that. And, you know, and he said, well, you should. And so it was at that point that I actually did that, that I actually took it and wrote him a letter. Now thinking back, I don't know, because, I mean, Parish Rock has been gone already for a number of years, but his broadcast still continues, and bless his heart, you know, it was just so good. I just love it, how he would just be so emphatic about the part of the, you know, the Bible, and then this is how you can know, and then, you know, it was just always so, and then always this part of, now, you know, are you just religious and lost, or are you saved? You know, it was always so clear cut. He took all the gray areas out. It was only religion that created all the fog and all the, you know. But the Lord is so good, and that we can know. So when you personally trust Christ, and let me encourage you, if there's someone in here and you're not absolutely sure, don't leave it to question. Amen. Don't leave it to, you know, well, someday I'm going to settle. No, allow that someday to be this day. You know, just take and say, Lord Jesus, you know, I know that it's not me. You know, I know I'm not worthy. I'm a sinner. Mm-hmm. But would you please come into my heart and save me? Mm-hmm. And if you do that from the heart, you will be saved. Mm-hmm. I mean, at that moment, you can go up after and you know, talk to the preacher or talk to some other, you know, somebody else that you know is sound and wants to, you know, see souls saved and whatnot. But from that moment, that's the moment. And then after that, everything just becomes where you settle it, because the Bible says so. And you can know it. Remember the one time the guy was on a issue where he says, well, how can you know it? Well, if you've never tasted, the Bible says taste and see that the Lord is good. Mm-hmm. For us that have tasted, we know, see? But if you've never tasted, then you don't know what the guys are talking about, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and so, but no, praise God. I appreciate this very much. Thank you.
Indeed, praise God. Boy, guys, isn't this good? Amen? Isn't the Lord great? Amen? And I really do praise the Lord for these testimonies. And want to take an opportunity. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 that, for by grace are you saved. Amen? Grace is a gift, like that I was just saying, that you receive. Amen? It's all about just saying yes to God and trusting Him by faith. And in Romans 6, verse 23, it says that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So I'd like to ask Esther to come up, please, and play for us. And we just all want to stand and bow our heads for just a minute as we close tonight. And sure appreciate all the sharing and the attention tonight. And want to give us a moment to bow to the Lord in prayer. And dear Christian brother and sister, let's remember what the Lord has done for us. And let's run back to that first love if we've forsaken it, and say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Help me to never forget what you've done for me. And maybe you're here tonight and you've maybe believed in God and Jesus all the time somehow, but you have no idea what that new birth talk is about. You've never come to Christ as a sinner, trusted Him, and left as a child of God. And Brother Don mentioned the verse, today is a day of salvation. You want to get that settled right now. You indeed do not want to leave church without having peace with God assured. Can I encourage you? Come up and talk to me. Talk to one of us. We'd love to open up the Bible. We'd love to rejoice with you in a new child of God. If you're not sure that if you were to die tonight, that you will stand in God's presence, accepted in Christ. You don't want to push it off. You don't want to wonder anymore. You want to settle it right here and right now. And say, dear Lord Jesus, I'm trusting in what you've done for me on the cross. Well, I don't know the words. I don't know the prayer. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, is what the guy in the Bible prayed. And he was justified. Right now, right here, can receive peace with God in heaven and know it. Right now, right here, is one more opportunity for the child of God to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Dear Father in heaven, oh, how we praise you tonight. Lord, thank you so much for your wonderful grace of Jesus. For the love, Lord, that taught us salvation's plan. For the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the gulf that God did span on Calvary. We thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we praise you for the testimonies that we've heard today, and Lord, the words of Scripture we've heard, and Father, we do pray that we would all leave here rejoicing just in the goodness of God in heaven, the Maker of heaven and earth, and how you would look down upon us, Lord. You'd see us in all our faults and failures, you know all of our sins, and yet say, I love you, I want you to be my child. I want you to live now for the glory of Almighty God. Oh, Father in heaven, I pray if there's anyone here tonight, anyone listening online, Father, that has never received Christ as Savior, Father, I pray that tonight they would put their faith in Christ and they would indeed be saved and know it. Lord, if there's anyone in our midst, Lord, that may be all religious, all the verses, all the answers, but is lost. Father, I've been there for 7 years, and you've been patient, and you've been gracious. I praise you, Father. And dear Lord, I pray no one would leave here religious and lost, but Father, we would find peace in Christ tonight. And dear Lord, we pray you bless us now as we dismiss, and help us to live for your glory this week. Lord, help us to be that witness and light that this world so desperately needs. And may you get all the glory for it, because truly worthy is the Lamb of God to receive all honor and praise and glory. We pray in Jesus' name.